So this week, I got thinking with the text and then all the rain that we've had for the end of the week, which they always say, oh, it sure has rained a lot, but I guess we need it. But it got me thinking about another Sunday school song that I grew up singing, and maybe you know it. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Anyone, did you sing it as a kid? The wise man built his house upon the rock. The rains came down and the floods came up, and the house on the rock. But so to abbreviate, right, there's a whole verse. And the foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the rains came down, and the floods came out, up, and the house on the sand went splash. I needed my hands today. To abbreviate. The point of the song being that we should build our homes, our lives, as Mr. Justin just pointed out to the children, on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, when the rains of life come down, we will crumble, to abbreviate. That is the main point or the thesis of our gospel reading this morning. It's wrapped in some apocalyptic language that can distract or mislead us, but I think the message is clear. We should not be foolish, and we should not trust in the structures or institutions that we ourselves have created. Our protection has and always will come from God. Our reading this morning comes from the end of Jesus' ministry, and it also comes from near the end of Luke's gospel. And it comes after Jesus has entered into Jerusalem on the back of a colt to shouts of Hosanna. It comes after Jesus has gone into the temple and turned over the tables of the money changers. It comes after Jesus has been challenged by the religious authorities and after he has challenged them. And now he turns his attention and ours to the temple where he has been teaching. The temple was beautiful. It was majestic. It had only recently been rebuilt by King Herod after almost 600 years after the original temple had been destroyed. Can you imagine 600 years they lived with a destroyed temple? Not one person. Well, I don't think anybody lived earlier in the Bible they lived that long, but not during Jesus' time. And so there they were living amongst the rubble, and King Herod rebuilds the temple bigger and better than it had been before. And it would have just been so impressive to them. It would have appeared indestructible. So when Jesus says in our reading that the days would come when not one stone would be left upon another, his words would have seemed implausible. However, by the time Luke actually writes his gospel, by the time he puts it down on paper, it's about 80 CE, and it's about 10 years after the temple had already been destroyed. So what we read from Jesus as being a prediction or a prophecy of what was to come had already taken place when his first readers or hearers of his gospel heard it. So in addition to his prediction that the temple would be destroyed, Jesus told of coming wars and insurrections and nations rising against nation and famines and earthquakes. I mean, this is a real feel-good story. It's perfect for a baptism Sunday, you know. It's real lift you up, right, kind of message. And unfortunately, all these things that he warned about had probably already happened before Luke's first readers read his gospel. And we know that they've happened many times in the 2,000 years since he wrote. All of these things have happened. All these atrocities have occurred. So we shouldn't get distracted by trying to worry about when these things happen, what they mean, and whether or not they are a sign of the end times coming. That is not how Jesus thinks we should be preparing ourselves. He wants us to stop worrying about those things, because doing so will make us vulnerable to the false teachings of those who claim to be able to predict when the apocalyptic end will come. Now, we know Nostradamus and other scientists and even some cult leaders have tried to calculate the day and the time. And it turns out they've all been wrong. The day and the time that they have calculated has come and gone like every day before it. it. So Jesus says, don't be distracted, don't be betrayed, don't be led astray by these false prophets, and trust instead in him and in his promise of protection and from persecution and the gift of everlasting life. You see, we should not be looking for security and protection from the stones that were stacked to create the temple, or even from the foundation that was literally laid here and this church building built upon. Nor should we put our faith and trust in any political structure or organization, relying upon them to protect us when life's storms come our way. That being said, when it's raining, we should go ahead and go inside. We're not going to move this service outside. Somebody's going to get wet later, but we're not moving the service outside. To do so would be foolish. Those aren't the storms of life that Jesus is talking about or that I'm talking about. Jesus is talking about the life events that test our resolve, that challenge our morals, that tempt us to seek the easy way out, even if it causes others to suffer. Jesus warns that the worldly systems and structures that might appear to be our best source of security and hope will all eventually crumble, and they will leave us to suffer alone. Some of them, like the temple, will physically crumble, as it did twice, and others will simply cease to exist because of our human inability to work together toward a common mission. You see, our security doesn't come through these worldly human systems. It comes instead through our belief and trust in the power of God's love given to us through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus offers us the assurance that not one hair on our head will perish, even when those storms of life come, and they will come, because he will be with us. He is our rock and our redeemer. And as the song teaches, if we build our houses, if we build our lives upon him, when the rain does come down and those floods come up, we will be okay. We will not perish because we have received the promise of new life, of everlasting life through him. This morning, I don't think it's a surprise to anybody, now that you've been here and I keep talking about it, we will celebrate the sacrament of holy baptism. And just in a few minutes, my grand-nephew, right? It's not great-nephew, it's grand? It's great? All right, I keep asking people, I get different answers. So anyway, my brother's grandson will be baptized, and Axel, you will receive the assurance of the security, the protection, and the hope that Jesus has told his disciples about and has told us as well. And for him, that assurance comes through the waters of holy baptism, but it also comes through the commitments of his parents and his sponsors and his family in this, the body of Christ. At this font, which we know was made lovingly by human hands, something superhuman will happen. Axel will be received into the body of Christ, into the fellowship of those who believe. And we might think of this as him being welcomed into the church, and in a way it is, if we understand that the church is not this building, or even the nonprofit organization who just had a budget explained to us prior to this worship service that we'll approve next week. Those are examples of the structures that Jesus warned the disciples about. It isn't the incorporation of Ascension Lutheran Church that Axel is being baptized into and received into. That is not where we seek our hope and our security. Our hope and security comes through our relationship with Jesus Christ. So Axel is coming into the fellowship of believers who worship here together, confessing our sinfulness and our need for God's grace and mercy. It is our need of God's love that unites us, that binds us as the body of Christ. We have bylaws, but it's truly the love of God that binds us one to another. Now, while the church as a legal entity is not the source of hope, we the people can be, if we understand, we can be The church isn't, but we can be if we understand that our strength and our hope doesn't come from the size of this building, from the size of our budget, whether it's balanced or not, but that we understand that our unity and our strength and our hope comes from God. Unfortunately, churches come and they go. And we've experienced the reality of that ourselves as the church we served in Connecticut closed 3 years ago. And while I was on sabbatical, Robin and I went back to Connecticut to visit, and it was painful to see that church building where we worshiped for 8.5 years have its steeple removed, replaced with a weather vane with an eagle on the top. That congregation has ceased to exist as a legal entity. But the power of God's love revealed and experienced among those people and among all of God's people never ends. It never dies. It doesn't end. It never crumbles or disappoints. No, God's gracious love, which we are offered through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is in fact eternal and is the one thing that we can count upon through all of life's storms. When those waters come up, It is Jesus that we can trust. Axel, did you get all that? There'll be a test at lunch, buddy. Amen.